Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another night of Astromind 2012. I am your host with Roy. Roy, are you there?
Yes, Adrian, I'm here. And again, we want to welcome back all our longtime callers and listeners. Looking forward to another great night of Astromind 2012. And what's on the agenda for tonight, Adrian?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the paranormal and supernatural experiences. Is there anything you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, experiences that not too many people, you know, have experienced. Main thing is we know that the spirit world is just as real as our world. And main thing is you have to have a lot of respect for these spirits because, you know, you're in their space, and main thing is you're trying to help them because a lot of them are stuck spirits. And put your fears on that, Adrian.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, we were talking about, me and friend were talking about how the spirit world's become more active, and that we still play a role in their dimension, and I feel like, you know, this is the lowest dimension that we're in right now, and I was listening to a video, and it was talking about the different dimensions on how physics has a lot to do with the different dimensions and how we see time and space, and that the spirit world is not the spirit world is not far from where we are, you know. And even in religion or Mormonism, they talk about the spirit world is here, and that heaven is not too far away. You know, heaven and hell is not too far away from Earth. And they're all part of one dimension. And they're saying that we're in the fifth dimension. And to rise the consciousness to a higher dimension, we have to shift the consciousness. And that's kind of why time is important, you know, with quantum physics and in the spirit world, how they're all interconnected like that, you know, and that we're all part of that fifth dimension. And that's kind of where we're at right now, in that dimension.
That's,
is there anything you want
interesting
to
share? That's very interesting. And again, you know, we know that there's even different parallels. You know, that, you know, that's why I think, you know, a lot of, you know, we've talked about this in the past, how the veil's getting thinner and they're starting to appear more, a lot of these spirits, you know. And, and plus, you know, there's other entities, you know, like fairies and, you know, and different other mystical, you know, creatures from other dimensions are coming through. And what's your feelings on that, Adrian?
Well, I think these other mystical creatures and foreclos and, you know, like the elves and the dwarfs and the gargoyles and the trolls and the fairies and all these other magical creatures, I think they're coming more into our dimension. They're exploring it, and a lot of people say that what happens is they find a doorway into our dimension, and sometimes they fall into our dimension, and they can manifest themselves anytime, you know, these magical creatures, because they're at that vibration, and then they go back into their dimension. But we haven't been able to access their dimension because we're not at that vibration yet. We're not at that consciousness level yet. And because we're only in the fifth dimension, so their dimension would be a lot higher dimension. So we have to tune into that dimension, you know, like a radio. And once we're at that frequency, then we can go into those dimensions. And I know that sometimes those dimensions will come into ours, you know, like the black and white dimensions, or the cartoon dimension, or the mystical creature dimension, or could be any dimension, really, you know, because those veils are starting to open up more, and the consciousness is starting to rise. And so that's kind of why we're experiencing all these weather pattern shifts, because Mother Earth is rising and shifting consciousness. And I think that's where we're headed. And that's why the veil's getting thinner.
That's so true. And the main thing is we just have to be open, you know, to all possibilities. The main thing is, you know, what are the messages? I mean, even in the astral, yeah, you know, in our dreams, you know, what messages are we receiving? And a lot of it is, you know, we have our angels, we have our, you know, spirit guides, you know, and all these different, you know, higher forces that are there to assist us. That's why I say, you know, we don't work alone. And when people, you know, give you a bad time, or, you know, or tell you things that are negative, a lot of it is, you know, these people have a lot of karmic debts that they have to repay before they can ascend. I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, my thought on it is if we're shifting to the higher dimensions, you know, we're only in the fifth dimension. Maybe, you know, maybe back in 2009 or 8, maybe we were at that level, but now that we're in 2012, as we evolve, you know, through those timelines, I think we're shifting to a higher consciousness. And within that consciousness, I think for a lot of people who are at that level, you know, won't be able to rise their vibration. They won't be able to go to those levels because they're on the lower levels. And the lower levels frequencies, you know, which we call the dark side, those energies will also shift. And the more that they shift, the more we shift, you know, we'll rise above that, but they'll shift to that level. You know, they may not even be at the fifth dimension. They might be at a lower dimension. But those dimensions also have to shift. And as they shift, they'll come into our dimension. And that's why we're starting to see more of the dark side than we are starting to see more of the light, because the dark side has to rise into the light, into those higher frequencies, those higher dimensions. So their consciousness will shift too. And I think that's why we're starting to see a lot more, you know, like you say, of the dark side, you know, demons or whatever you want to call them, bad spirits, familiar spirits, people who are part of the matrix, and the people who are not part of the matrix are, you know, like we were talking about, how they're the way seers, and how we're all being affected by the way. You know, and if we can get past the rules and the regulations of, you know, following rules and how we've been programmed to live in fear, if we can break those patterns, then we can shift the consciousness to a higher dimension, which that's something that, like we were talking about, you know, that the Illuminati don't want, or the government, the black government don't want. But if we can raise to those higher frequencies, then that's where we need to be, you know, our consciousness.
That is so true, and a lot of the ways is to be more giving, you know, to live more of the Christ consciousness and to show, you know, unconditional love to others
mm-hmm.
as well as ourselves.
And then we can experience the all the good things,
right?
Of the light, we can experience,
yeah.
you know, those vibrations. We can experience, you know, what it's like to be loved, what it's like to be giving. We can experience, you know, a lot of the things of the light. But every now and then, you know, the dark will drag us down. And when it does drag our energy down, and this is something that, you know, we were talking about before, this is something that the Illuminati wants, is to drag that vibration down so that way they have more control. Because they can control by energy frequencies, they can control by, you know, we were talking about the towers, how we're being affected by the towers. Anything to drop our vibration, you know, it could be money, it could be health, could be, I mean, it could be anything, relationship, it could be how, anything that can drag us down, anything that's part of our weakness. And, you know, and I was watching that video, like I said, I was watching that video about those people who were, this guy was a hypnotist and he was using mind control to hypnotize this lady so that they could sell her soul to Lucifer. And that, I mean, that's something that goes on every day. That's something that, that's not just Hollywood, but that's telling you right there what, you know, what's really going on. Because we're experiencing the good and the bad, you know.
Well, the main thing is, we can't have one without the other.
Not
when we're living, you know, in duality world.
Uh-huh.
That's why, you know, everybody has to get that vibration up so that we can go into oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the new world.
And we know that, like I was saying, even the dark side will, like I said, they will shift. Eventually, they will shift to the higher consciousness in their own pathway. You know, that's the path that they chose.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that, in my belief system, it's not something whether it's good or bad, but it's, or right or wrong, but it's a contract, and it's something that they chose before they came here. That's what they chose, just like people who choose to come here and experience what it feels like to have AIDS or to have cancer, or they might die at a certain age, at a certain time. I mean, why is it certain people live to be in their hundreds and some people don't, you know? And I question that, and a lot of people, you know, say, why does God do this? Why does he do that? Well, it's not really God. It's just something that everyone chose before they came here. It's not, it's a contract. And that's where, you know, that's where we were talking about how does sacred contracts, how does that play a role in our lives to what we choose and what we experience, you know? And then this question in the back of your mind, you know, you have to look back and you have to analyze everything. Okay, what did I do wrong? What can I correct in my life? What can I change in my life? You know, those are the things that the universe is showing you. So there are things that the universe, lessons that the universe is showing us. You know, how do I correct the situation? You know, it's like playing a video game. You know, how do I go around the maze in the video game? Do I just give up, or do I continue to play the game until I win it? And if you think about it, life is like that. It's like a video game. It's like, how do I go around this blockage, and how do I correct it? You know, and we're always looking for an easy way out, how to play the video game. You know, we search for cheat codes, and we search for things. How do I win the game, you know? And that's pretty much all we're playing, is we're playing a game.
Yeah, it's so true. A lot of it's like a movie also. I mean, we're the screenwriters, you know, what do we want, you know, in our movie?
How does our movie end?
You know, how does our movie end?
How does it begin and how does it end? And
yeah.
You know, that's what we
have. I mean,
our
movie can be like a comedy. It could be, you know, a love story. It could be, you know, about drama.
And it's weird you bring up a movie because, you know, I was talking with my friend Carmelita, and she was saying that she walked in this whole building. It was almost like back in the 1900s. And she was eating, and she didn't know that about this building. She walked in, and she said it was almost like walking into a black and white movie. And I was telling her, I was like, it's weird you'd bring up black and white, because I was on the phone with a friend, and I heard a sound. It was almost like it sounded like a black and white UFO landing. And I told her, I said, first thing that came to my subconscious was a black and white UFO, because that's the first thing that came to my mind. And so, you know, the subconscious, we know the subconscious can do some crazy things, but we also know it's at that level of that vibration. And we don't know how true these movies are. You know, we don't know the people who wrote these books, if it was based on their life experience or things that they saw or did. You know, that's the mystery behind it. That's why they had, you know, they made the show Unsolved Mysteries, you know, because it's still a mystery.
And that's interesting. How are we doing on callers tonight, Eta?
We have one caller that just called in, and let's go ahead and bring them on. It's from the 901 area. You're on the air with Roy and Adrian.
Hello.
Hello, and what's your name and where are you from?
This is Lanice, and I'm calling from Tennessee.
And how can we help you tonight?
Well, you mentioned something about being in the matrix, some people being in the matrix and some not. Where do I stand in that, being in the matrix, or am I out of the matrix? You see anything concerning that? Because it's been on my mind. I've been thinking about, you know, finding out about exactly what is it to be in the matrix, what is a matrix. I have an idea, but I don't know what it is, and I've been led to watch the first movie, The Matrix, but I haven't done it yet.
Well, let me comment on that for a minute. My view on that is how you live your life, how you perceive things. you know, with your life. It's almost like the matrix is almost like something that's in your mind that's ready to be cracked open, you know, in your subconscious mind. And the matrix is our conscious mind, which is the 10% of the brain that we use and the 90% of the brain that we don't use. But we use our 90% when we sleep at night, and that's our subconscious mind. And the matrix is the conscious mind, but it's basically something that blocks us from the truth. It's something that blocks us from this reality that we live in every day. You know, we go to work, we pay our taxes, we help our landlord, you know, we help our neighbor take out his trash, just like the movie. You know, I'm just quoting the movie. And then you go in a situation where you see a lot of people wearing suits and ties, or you see cops going up and down the road and firemen, you know, just like normal people every day. That's the matrix.
Okay.
And the way we crack the matrix is by shifting to our subconscious mind, which is our 90%. And how we crack it is we're cracking the veil, you know, and the veil is the matrix. You know, the veil is cracking through the matrix. And so the confusion of the matrix is just something like when you see on the computer and you see all those codes, you see all those numbers, that's the matrix, because numbers, like Roy says, is our universal language. But if you can look past all that, you can look past all those codes and numbers, then that's breaking through the matrix, you know, because that's pretty much what we're all governed by. We're all governed by physics and math, and because we have to use numbers on a value of money. You know, what is $100? What is $200? What is $1,000? You know, we use numbers every day, and that's the matrix, because we're following a government. We're following a system of rules and regulations and restrictions. That's the matrix. So if we can get past all and follow our own spiritual guidance, our own path, now you become the wayseer. And the wayseers are the ones who don't follow those rules and regulations and restrictions. They see things differently, you know. And if you see, if you perceive things differently, which is why you called in the show tonight, which a lot of people don't believe in all this stuff, then you're way beyond the matrix. You're a wayseer.
You just explained that I am a wayseer. It's every day.
You are.
All these rules and regulations and everything that you've described is what I never really adapted to from day one. I've always seen things differently, even from a small child.
Yeah, you
and
see things, you know, from a different perspective than other people do. You're not a follower.
Yeah. Okay.
All the people that you see walking down the road, like the Matrix, when he took Neo through the Matrix, and then he paused it and he said, "You're either one of them or you're one of us." That's the Matrix.
Well, that explains it.
The people who follow the government. That's the Matrix. And all they were is machines, because all they did was follow orders and just follow. They said that people who become part of the matrix will fight to protect it and even kill if they have to. And that's what he said on the movie Matrix. Because now you're going against the system. And those who go against the system will be destroyed. They were killing machines is what they were. Like a virus, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm seeing that clearly, exactly what you said. That's my perspective. I've just never understood it. It's like my life is getting so difficult because I'm actually in it, and I want to be free of it, and it's viewed as abnormal, and I really can't tell people about it because they see me as complaining, you know, and it's just that my vision is so different. You know, it's like, oh, you know, they don't want to hear it or you're complaining again. But it's just, it's so unnatural and for me, you know, and here I am walking in it, but I want to be out of it. I don't want to be tied to anything. And I really just want to be free. But, you know, I've got this, the way things are set up, I've got this job and, you know, I'm kind of going through the motions with the rest of the robots. But also in a very, very uncomfortable way, which is taking a toll on my stress level. Like I'm trying to figure out
part,
how do I even differently.
Part of the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the monks don't believe to live in the matrix. They got off the grid, and when they get off the grid, they're just like, okay, well, you'll suffer with the clothes that you wear. You'll suffer with the money that you follow. And the money that you serve, and the energy that is the power that has been taken away from you, and that's pretty much all we're experiencing right now with the matrix. There's all those things.
Yeah, because it's like I feel like in order to have this home that I have and the car that I drive, it's like, I feel like I've sold my soul. And it's taken something out of me to get this money to do these things, and I'm just miserably walking in it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
I heard somebody say today that they did not want to go back to their job because it takes me away from me. And that's exactly how I feel. Even with my job, I feel like I'm walking into a jail cell. And then when I leave the job, I feel like now I can breathe. And then I have a few hours to go home and, you know, be off the job and do what I want to do. And then it's back again. And I tell you, I have gotten physical symptoms from all of this stuff, and I don't want to be, you know, physically ill, but it's really getting to me.
I feel like you're the victim.
Yeah, you know, kind of, and I don't know how to really get out of it. But it's almost like I'd rather just get a little basket. You know, I kind of understand how these people get a basket, put a few things in it, and they just push the basket and move along.
Right.
Like that sometimes, just give me a little basket and a tent, and, you know, I'll just make it from there.
Well, you know, and that's the whole thing is, in the end, a lot of people are going to suffer with the matrix because they're so attached to the matrix that when it's taken away from them, because everything has to change, everything comes to stay, everything comes to pass, nothing comes to stay. That's what I'm trying to say. It comes to pass, but nothing comes to stay. So where we're at right now is that, yeah, everything is coming to pass with the money system, but it's not going to stay. And so if you think about it that way, a lot of the people who are living in the matrix will suffer because it's not going to be there anymore.
Okay.
Because nothing comes to stay. Everything just comes to pass. So that's kind of why a lot of people don't understand why, you know, I met this new person, he came into my life, and then swiftly is gone the next day, and it's because everything comes to pass, nothing comes to stay. It can just change that fast, just like the weather.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting that,
you know,
too now.
So you're seeing a lot of changes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're pulling away from the matrix. That's why. That's why you feel different. That's why you feel like every time you go to work, day in, day out, you hate it, because you're pulling away from the matrix. We have to go into the matrix to pull away from the matrix. And then we start feeling like, why do I feel like I have to be doing something else? Why do I feel like I need to be doing some psychic readings? Why do I feel like, you know, all these feelings that you get, you know?
Yes.
That's the feeling that you're getting, like how you're being affected by the way.
Because mm-hmm.
it even says that in that video, that we're all being affected by the way.
Well, I understand it a little better now, and it's helping me to understand myself. I'd even gotten to the point of saying I just wasn't going to say anything to the other, you know, those that are walking in the matrix and they accept it and embrace it. So I just said, I'm just not going to say anything because they don't know what I'm talking about.
They're not ready to.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually they will be, but they're not ready to.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ready to accept it.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't really trying to get them to understand it, but just trying to communicate with someone who knows what I'm talking about and how I'm feeling, and they really don't.
Because they see things the way other people see, and you see things differently, and that's kind of why you're a wayseer, because you don't follow rules and regulations, and they have to have rules and regulations because they've been told all their lives to go to work and do this and do that, and they've been programmed their whole lives, you know? That's nothing new to them.
Yeah, and it's so hard when you, like I said, ever since I can remember, since I got to the planet, it's just been like all of this stuff that I've seen and heard, I never believed it, never wanted to be a part of it. But because I'm on this planet and you know, navigating, and this is was the predominant theme, then I went with it, but it has caused me a lot of pain and misery and anger and sadness, and I'm so done with all that.
And that's what the Matrix does.
Fearful.
It brings fear, it brings pain, it brings discomfort. That's why the monks say they don't live but by that kind of energy, because they believe in, well, they don't believe in that this is the Matrix, but they believe only in peace and love and, you know, and the way, basically, they're being affected by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
that's how they pursue.
How do I feel better?
Main thing, I just want to add something to all of this as I'm listening to you and Adrian talking. And the way you feel better is by remembering who you are, why you're here, why you are here, and where are you going. We have to, you know, take back our power. We have to accept ourselves for who we are, you know, and how we can, you know, inspire others, the ones who do want to listen, the ones who feel something, you know, where they want to be, you become way seers again. Main thing is, you know, we welcome you, you know, back home, you know, this. You know, the way, living in the way is where we all come from. And again, you know, this message goes out to all our callers and listeners out there, that we have to allow this, you know, unconditional love to be part of our lives, to be part of the Christ consciousness again. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
You're welcome. main thing is we're all going through something right now. We're all being affected, you know, by the matrix. The main thing is we all have to have the strength to get past, you know, whatever, you know, trials and tribulations that we're going through, and call, you know, upon, you know, the universe, you know, to give us that strength, to, you know, give us that, you know, help that we need, you know, from our angels, you know, from our, from the divine, you know, from the universe. Because this is, see, we came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave this world with nothing. We just have to remember that we are not part of this world. Our world is waiting for us. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, is there anything else? Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say, I think that's why, like I said, everything comes to pass, but nothing comes to stay, because we're not meant to come here and stay, and that's why we die. And,
yeah,
you know, we're meant to only to come here and to experience and to learn and to grow. And that's sort of kind of where we're at right now. And but obviously a lot of people are not learning, and so a lot of people have to come back and relearn. You know, whether it be through discomfort or they have to experience the matrix more in order for them to break the that veil. And but as wayseers, we can help people to break that veil so that they don't have to come back and relearn everything. And because we've already been there, we already know what it's like to relearn everything, and that's kind of why we see things differently, because we've already been there and done that.
I have a question. You know, I hear a lot of people saying that the reason we come to Earth is to learn lessons, and if we don't get it, we have to relearn them. And another question just came in my mind about that. In order to ascend to the higher dimensions, is it necessary to pass through Earth first and pass all those lessons? Is Earth that significant a place that I'm trying to find out, well, why do we have to come here and learn these things? Or is it that this is a step to reach the higher dimensions? Does it work that way?
I think that's the biggest reason why we're here, is to reach to those higher dimensions and see things that we've already seen or experienced, and like you said, to learn those lessons and some things that we haven't learned and things that we do that we will learn so that we can correct them.
Let me ask you this question. The knowledge that you have now, when you were younger, if you had that same knowledge, how much of a better life would you have lived?
Oh, I
if
think
you had that same knowledge.
You know what? I actually think I did have that same knowledge, but it wasn't cultivated. I can see now how they say we come here and we forget everything, and some things you don't forget. I think I had a strong memory of the truth, but by being dumped here and everybody doing things differently, I got very confused, very sidetracked, and I did not follow my own intuition because I thought my intuition and my perception and understanding was wrong because everybody else's was the same. And I always had this feeling of trying to be with that program, and I lost myself. So I would say if I had not lost myself, I would be way further along with my spiritual growth and development and be more grounded and stable and focused and able to make decisions that would have been for my highest good, as opposed to making decisions out of fear and a lack of understanding.
That's wonderful, you know, And if you look at it in that way, a lot of people still haven't found that.
Yeah.
And no, they haven't.
You know, and they're still looking. And that's why a lot of them are still making the same mistakes over and over again.
They're still living in the matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've done it too, but now I'm feeling a little different, and I recently turned 50, and I think that brought along a lot more. It's like a clearing or a blowing away of a lot of ashes, so to speak, and I think I'm a little bit more clearer, and I see my life path and my destiny being much more of what I would create it to be, being one outside of the matrix, or actually growing to a further process of letting that go and moving over into the freedom, you know, and the God that I am that is within me.
And that's interesting. This year I'll turn 62.
Mm-hmm.
And my son that you're talking to, he just turned 30. Why is it that it takes some longer than others to gain, you know, some of that knowledge? A lot of it is, you know, when we're ready, you know, that's when we'll receive that knowledge.
Yeah.
When we're ready to accept
some
it.
Earlier, you know, some younger, some a little bit more older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think all
the main
that
thing is there is no time and space that we've all had these, you know, abilities. We've all had this knowledge. It's just remembering again what we knew before.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. See, the subconscious mind stores all this information for us. If you were to compare your subconscious with the computer, subconscious holds more memory than one of the world's biggest computers on Earth. So, you know, can you imagine how much information that we know, but we haven't even tapped into that yet?
Right, yeah, I've thought about that.
Yeah.
Information from lifetime after lifetime.
From lifetime to lifetime.
Yeah.
For millions and even billions of years.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the movie Cloud Atlas?
I'm not sure on that.
It's called Cloud Atlas. It's a fairly new movie. It's about past lives and future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah. It was kind of confusing.
My friend was telling me about that, and he was saying that it's like it shows you different past lives that people have experienced.
Yeah. And I watched it, and it was kind of confusing. So I said, this is one I may have to watch about three times to figure out, you know, the plot of the movie and who was who. And it was kind of a lot of stuff running together to me. But that's the gist of it. It's about showing how people can come to live in one lifetime and be together, and then they come back in another lifetime. And it's the same soul, different body, and how they recognize each other. And some of them even had some memory, just glimpses of memories from those past lives.
I just wanted to share one other thing with you. Now that you're talking about movies, and this is what me and my son Adrian has talked about before. Why is it that when Hollywood comes up with all these different kinds of movies, and you go to watch this movie,
mm-hmm.
it almost plays out into your life?
Hmm.
I mean, it's almost like you become part of that movie in your life, in your reality.
Yeah, in your dimension.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I was watching it. As I was watching it, I felt my spirit pulling back, because it was just too much, you know. And I didn't want to take that in. I was conscious of that because I could feel it kind of getting into me, but I was resistant to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, me and Adrian's had this happen many a times. Because, you know, we love movies. You know, we love things that are out of the ordinary. But, again, you don't want to create that reality into your life.
You know, I have to be so careful because whatever I think happens.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Things that you don't want to experience.
Yeah.
And I'm having to be so careful with what I think and what I imagine. It's just, it's almost surreal.
We have to be careful what we think because right now, after 2012, things are manifesting a lot more rapidly. You know, things are, that energy is just moving so much faster now. That's why a lot of people notice, yes, you know, we have 24 hours in a day, but it seems like time's flying a lot faster than what it really is.
It does seem that way.
I mean, a week seems like days. A month, you know, it seems like a week, you know.
So fast.
Yeah, the reason is, and this is what we've heard, is it's to prepare us all because we need to get right into that. People that are not in, you know, out of the matrix, this is going to help them get out of the matrix.
Where
they need to be.
Where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had, speaking of the manifestation thing, I can see it working for me when I'm very, it's like whatever I really, really want, I'm seeing now that I can manifest it. And I see how the things that I don't want to happen, and I put just as much energy into that, it manifests as well. So now I'm learning how to use my manifestation gift to my highest good. For instance, here's one that happened, and I'm going to start writing them down because there's so much happening. I went to Mexico, and that's where I felt so free. I was at the water. I didn't have to go to my little job, and I was just doing exactly what I wanted to do. And as I was leaving, I had a lot of things in my suitcase, so when I was packing to leave, the zipper messed up and it got off track and I was able to pull it backwards and then zip it around and push everything in there. And there was a little bulge in it and I thought, oh my goodness, the way they throw these suitcases around, this is probably going to burst open. And then I visualized it staying intact until it got back to me. And I was kind of worried about it, and then I just let it go because I'm learning how to let things go because I have the gift to be able to really focus on things and worry about them, and that's how I've created all the chaos in my life. So now I'm learning not to do it, so I let it go. So I get back to my home, and my little suitcase coming around the bend, and I have this white ribbon attached to it to be able to identify it. And I thought it wasn't mine because it had something pink hanging out of it, and it was one of my robes. And that was the only crack in it. But as soon as I touched it, it just came apart. The whole zipper just undid itself and came loose. Then I thought about, with all of that throwing around that it had probably gone through, it stayed intact. And I remembered that I said I wanted to stay together until it got back to me, and that's exactly what it did. And, I mean, I just touched it. And it came loose, and there was no more zipper.
Wow.
But it stayed together the whole time, in route. I didn't lose any of my things, and it was really just hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
And that's what I asked for everything to stay in there. I didn't want to lose anything. And, you know, I stopped, and I looked at it, and I paid attention to what I had asked for and how everything played out. And it played out exactly like I wanted to, because I'm learning how to switch now instead of in visualizing the worst-case scenario out of my fear-based thinking that I have been consistent with up until this point in my life, as I'm learning not to do that, I'm seeing the other side work where I see the best outcome, and I'm getting that now.
That's interesting. We had Adrian's mentor, the lady who taught him how to do his readings. One word that, well, it's more than one word, but what you say anytime something, a thought like that comes to you, or even negative, or even fear-based, or anything like that, the first thing you say is, I take this out of my universal, you know, law. And once you say that, it cancels every negative thought, and it just gets rid of it.
Okay.
It's almost like, you know, in on a computer where you hit delete, and it wipes it all out.
Yeah.
All
right. Well,
our minds the same way.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. Because I see how, because most of my life, like I said, I have been afraid. Because I came into fear because my father was a raging alcoholic, and he really scared me, and I was afraid he was going to kill my mother, and he used to fight with her all the time, and I spent my whole childhood preventing that from happening, because whenever he went near her, I would like stand between them because I had this fear. I don't know where that came from. I was thinking, you know, later on that maybe I experienced that in another life. But
yeah.
I just realized how my mind has, and my fear and my thinking the worst case scenario has really held me back. And now I'm just being gently shown that, oh, it can be another way. All you have to do is visualize it.
And that's interesting. You know, that things can change. We just have to look at it in a different way, or we just have to change our way of thinking.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting how on the movie The Matrix, where he told Neo, his boss told him, he said, my company rules must not apply to you, you know, and I started thinking about, you know, the difference between the Matrix and the Wayseers when he said that, because when you don't follow rules and regulations, then that makes you a Wayseer.
Well, I'm only a Wayseer then. That question has been answered.
So that was pretty cool when I started thinking about that, you know, that message.
Yeah.
That's why they said that on The Matrix. I didn't understand that at first, why he said that. But now I do.
There's a lot to that. My rules must not apply to you, and they really don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Wayseer.
Exactly. That's why he never followed rules.
Did you ever hear the story about the chicken and the eagle?
No.
What it was about this little eagle that was raised with a bunch of little chickens, you know, and as it was growing up, you know, it would act like all the other chickens. But it always felt like it was some, you know, different than all the rest. You couldn't figure it out, you know, until one day this big eagle was flying around the barnyard and it landed, and it talked to this little eagle and explained to it that it was not one of them, you know, that it was not a chicken, that it was an eagle, just like, you know, this big, you know, eagle that had landed, and told it that it had to, you know, fly away with the eagles. So it finally did. It spread its wings and took off and started flying with the eagles. The main thing is, we're not chickens. We're all eagles. And that's why we feel the way we do. I just wanted to share that with you.
Great analogy.
Yep. That's why a lot of people, you know, they're just not part of the matrix. You know, there's a lot of light workers out there, and we're growing by numbers, and we're starting to hear more and more about it.
So I guess for the way showers, we end up here to experience being something in a system that we're not a part of.
Right.
And I feel that all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very clearly, it's like, well, why am I here? And it really gives you that longing for, like, home. I've heard about that before. But as I look back on my life, I've always been the little eagle with the chickens.
Yeah.
And the chickens go around acting like chickens.
Yeah.
And they wonder why you don't want to act like a chicken.
Yeah.
But to some, I guess you look like a chicken, but
really,
they can't see your eagle exterior. Only an eagle can see that. But the chickens think you're another chicken, and they try to pull you into these chicken games. And you know you're in the wrong place. And it's like squeezing yourself. You're a square peg, and you're trying to squeeze into this round hole and doing all this work trying to get in that round hole. That's the way
I feel.
Now I got to get my energy back. I mean, from this lifetime of squeezing into that square peg and me being a round hole. being a square peg trying to squeeze into that round hole. And I am so tired and exhausted.
You know, we met a lady a while back by the name of Nanari. And this is interesting. She claimed that she's from Lemuria.
Mm-hmm.
This was another continent, you know, like Atlantis.
Yeah, familiar with it.
Anyway, as we got to know her, she told us a word that came from Lemuria, and it was called Espavo. This was part of their language.
Mm-hmm.
And what Espavo means is, you know, thank you for taking your power back. And, you know, and that's what we, you know, have to remember, that our power was taken away and now we're taking it back.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to know tonight.
I wanted to share something, too. Remember that part on the Matrix where he took Neo into the Matrix, and he told Neo, he said, this is what we've become, and then he showed him the battery, and Neo, he couldn't comprehend it with his mind, so he told him, he said, let me out of here, I can't handle it, and he puked, you know. And if you think about it, what do people do when they find out the truth? How does their mind handle the truth? How does their mind handle the truth that we're living in a world that is the Matrix? And when we give them a different perspective, how do they react to that? A lot of people can't react to that. And that's why a lot of people end up, you know, hang up the phone, or people say that's not true, or because they have to live in a world to follow rules and regulations, and that's how they've been programmed. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's how they've been hypnotized. So
right.
just like Neo, he couldn't accept the truth. That's why he puked, and that's why he wanted out of the Matrix. Because he couldn't
remember that we've been lied to since day one.
Yes. Mhm.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was talking about when I was a little girl, and I have a memory, you know, even with the religion and the church thing and what they call us God and all that stuff, that's the basis, that's where they start. So when I was a little girl, I mean, even being very, very young, I was in some church settings, and I would see all these people talking about God, and then they would do the, you know, the so-called shouting and falling out and all that stuff, and it just never made any sense to me. And the biggest crop was when they said God loves you unconditionally, but by the same token, if you didn't do exactly what God said, with all this love that he has for you, then he would allow the devil to devour you. Now, that was where I always stopped and said, wait a minute.
So we have to remember that all religions are based on fear and control.
Exactly.
It's part of the matrix.
It's part of the matrix.
And
I'm not saying that any of them are bad. They all started out with good intentions.
And then it got twisted.
Then it became part of the matrix.
Yeah.
Never fell for it. Because my concept of God was just my own understanding was always just love. I could not comprehend God who loved me and hated me at the same time.
Hate does not come from God.
No, it does not.
God only knows unconditional love. So wherever hate came from is not from the light.
This is true.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we had this discussion.
As long as we believe that, like I said, we have to know who we are, why we're here, and where are we going. As long as we remember those things, no matter what happens in this world, don't matter.
Yeah. And that's
because this is not our world.
Set and get caught up in my own pain and agony of following this system that I know I'm not a part of, and how all this stuff doesn't make any sense. And sometimes, getting confused, thinking that, well, maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I should go with the flow, and I don't really know how to do that. So I guess I got a lot of healing to do, and my main objective is to remember, so when these things come up, I don't have to go off the deep end.
That's right. And remember also that you're not alone.
Yes, that's true. But it feels like it.
Yeah.
I have to think
They want, the matrix wants you to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. But what I have to do is seek out people like yourself, because they're not just standing there. They're not the people that you work with or in your family.
No.
They're scattered, and you got to, I realize that I have to keep connections, because I really can't talk to most people, and I'm alone a lot, because I think once people really find out who I am, just by me being myself, it scares them, especially men. Even if I don't do or say anything, there's this energy, and I understand it now, and it's been with me all of my life. I used to be really, really sad about it, of how people would just go away, but what it is that it's who I am and what I'm here for and where I'm going. So I'm a little bit more okay with that now, because I'm understanding it. And even though I'm saying it out loud now, I'll still forget and kind of feel like, well, why, are they not talking to me, or something like that. But my goal is to remember, if I can do that.
Remember, you're not a chica, you're a nico. So you have to fly with the egos.
That is funny, because I used to always have people always tell me, why do I feel like I'm so different from other people? And I said, it's because, remember, you're an eagle and they're a chicken, and that's why you feel so different from other people.
And they're different.
You have different perspective. You have a different way of thinking. You don't follow rules and regulations, and you're not a follower. You follow your own higher self.
And
you have to remember, too, that when an eagle soars, it's looking over the land. It's up above everything. It can see higher, than any other, animal or creature that's on earth, because it's up there, And that's where we have to have our mind, is up there.
Wow. And there is
not on the ground.
And then that's where that aloneness comes from, but it's good. You're taking that perspective, and there are more eagles up there. They may not be flying directly beside you, but they're there.
Mm-hmm. They're there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, my family has always made fun of me because I was the little eagle and they were the chickens. And if there was, I noticed how something can come up, and even if it's a lie or whatever, they will all bond together in that lie. And try to make me feel as if my vision is not clear, but they're right. And now they say things about me now that I can appreciate, and I take as compliments. They say I hear music differently from them. My dance rhythm is totally different. That's because their beat's off. Mine is on point. They say I dance to the beat of a different drummer. So they see it. I think they've always seen it, but they don't like it. But now,
beat comes from the angels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where all your music comes from.
Yeah, they see it, and I think that's a time that they want to come out as well.
Yeah.
They want to now. They're finally waking up, whereas they would just kind of be abusive to me and kind of kick me aside to the side and say ugly things to me and then band together as a group and ostracize me.
I just wanted to share something with you. And I just talked to a lady about the same, things that we're talking about now. And anyway, she was telling me, have you ever heard the song Angels Amongst Us? By Alabama?
No, I haven't.
If you can go on YouTube, listen to that song, and you'll be amazed, And you can feel that energy and, how the angels are there with us, that they watch over us. They protect us.
Oh, wow.
And if you look back in your lifetime, how many times have you been protected?
Many, many, many. My brother was reminding me yesterday of something that I had forgotten about. And I know that it was brought up. I know my angels prompted him to remind me of this, but I had a physical healing when I was younger. I had a condition, and I was taken to this place, and evidently this person was a healer and laid hands on me, and I recovered. And that was when I was a little child. Yeah. And even now, I am in direct communication, which I understand is not even the angels, but a higher order, the ascended masters. They communicate with me in numbers.
Yeah.
I get shown daily 333. That's the main one. And
at
first it was just on the clock, and now it's everywhere.
Wow.
They're answering me back. I'm asking questions, and when I, I'll get an answer, and they're constantly showing me 333-222-444.
Wow.
I mean,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So
we see, that's another thing too, is me and my son learned how to heal with numbers.
Wow.
And these are all sacred numbers, and they come in codes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and share these numbers with you. 2-3-5-3-6-5-9-2. What do you get from those numbers?
Okay, 2-3-5-3.
Nope. 2-3-5-3-6-5-9-2.
Okay. Is that all together or individually?
Yeah.
Like 2-3-5-3-6-5-9-2.
Yeah, these are all together.
And those are healing numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
Very powerful numbers. What it does is when you say these numbers and you visualize and and look behind your left leg and visualize turning clockwise as you say these numbers, 2, 3, 5, 3, 6, 5, 9, 2, magnified, multiplied for all times and places now. What that does, it brings all your, you know, your chakras and everything back into balance.
Okay, so you turn to the left.
You turn, always turn clockwise. That's to your right.
Okay, turn clockwise.
2, 3, 5, 3, 2, 3, 5, 3, 6, 5, 9, 2, magnified, multiplied for all times and places now. Actually, me and Adrian, we've helped people in which we felt they were minutes of dying. And by saying those numbers, it would it help restore them back, you know, to, you know, their health back. Yeah.
Okay, 2, 3, 5, 3, 6, 5, 9, 2,
turn clockwise. You know, and after you say those numbers, then you see, just, let me go ahead and do it again. 2, 3, 5, 3, 6, 5, 9, 2, magnified and multiplied for all times and places now.
Okay. That's magnified and multiplied for all times and places.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And any time you're feeling any kind of discomfort or a lot of stress or anything, you know, or thoughts, you know, where people make you feel, you know, not, you know, good about yourself, all you have to do is say those numbers and, well, you'll feel your energy just go right back up to where it needs to be.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to use this. It's not happening as frequently now that I know what's going on, but these, you know, the feelings still come, and it's kind of severe when they come because I feel like I'm maybe throwing off this energy, but it's coming up to pass. That's what I was told by my angels to, you know, because I was thinking, oh, my God, am I sick? You know, because I was having so many feelings. And it was, like I told you, it's been affecting my physical. And it was,
you know, that's, you know, we're all going through something, whether it be that or some kind of trauma or even, you know, when somebody passes away and you know, and we have a lot of love for them, you know. The main thing is we have to get, you know, back our strength, you know, get back our power again. We can't let it just, you know, not build back up again.
Yeah.
Because then it starts affecting your health.
Right. And that's what I think that I've been doing. I think that I got so bombarded that I allowed my health to be affected. But then I got it back because last year I went through something I can't describe what it was, but I was afraid. My heart was racing, and it seemed like I couldn't hardly breathe. I lost weight. I quit eating. The only thing I did was went to work, came home, and cried. Then I got to where I didn't want to be alone. I was afraid to be alone. It was just, I went through this from, like, January to, like, April. And I actually lost 44 pounds in the midst of all of that. But I came out feeling real good after it was over, and I looked a lot better, and I was real excited about it afterwards. But it was just like, I have never been through anything like that in my life.
You know, but some people can't come out of it, and they become suicidal. Main thing is we have to use our faith, you know, all, you know, every strength that we have, you know, and allow, you know, the angels and the universe to help us, you know. Sometimes we have to call out to them, you you know, for that strength that we need.
Mm-hmm. And I did that. It seemed like a grieving process when I look back on it. I still cannot quite understand it. But I think it was a clearing or some type cleansing. And, I mean, everything came up, and it was so dark and ugly and scary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Adrian, you want to share the experience that you had not too long ago?
What experience?
About losing your girlfriend.
Oh, well, what happened was I was on the phone with her and finding out that she overdosed on medication and alcohol.
Wow.
And then I ended up with the shingles after
well,
that.
Well, she did die from that. She died the next day.
Yeah, she died from that.
Yeah.
And after she died, I ended up with the shingles.
And these weren't just in a small spot. This was through his whole body.
Okay, and there was a body reaction to the stress.
Yeah. And not only that, but now he had to come up with the way, how do I get rid of it?
Yeah.
Well, he tried it with medicines, and that wasn't working. Not right away. But we had a homemade salve that was handed down through the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Adrian, I said, you need to start using that salve every day until you get rid of those shingles. And he did, and it got rid of them. You know, within 2 weeks' time, he had got rid of them, where the doctor said it was going to take months to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's things that we can't explain, but we know that, you know, that we all have that ability of healing ourselves as long as we believe that, you know, we can, you know, get this kind of help that we need, you know, whether it be from the angels or descended masters or whoever we call upon.
And
we all have these abilities.
Yeah, and I'm seeing it happen, and I think that's part of the Matrix thing. It's like one of the hidden secrets that's been kept away from us, and some people for so long until even if you tell them, they don't believe it.
But see, the main thing is they don't want people to remember. The Illuminati does not want people to remember. They want everyone to forget that we had these abilities. Because if once everybody remembers, remember, they're only the 1%. We're the 99%. Once we all awaken, they're finished.
Mm.
We take control.
Okay, that's why they're working so hard to keep people in the dark.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the end result, is people waking up.
Awakening.
That's where we're going.
Yeah. And that's why the days are speeding up. Things are moving a lot faster now.
Mm-hmm.
The consciousness is shifting.
I found myself saying that, how fast things are moving.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it, a lot of these dimensions are also shifting.
Yeah, and they're opening up.
Because our veil's getting thinner. The more we shift, the more they shift. And
the main thing
is
they're not working alone. They're working with one-third of the host of heaven that followed Satan. So there's a lot of demons out there that are working right along with them.
Okay.
In his dimension.
Yeah.
But not in our dimension.
Not only that, but they're using every trick in the book for people to fall into that trap.
Yeah, if they can get people to those lower dimensions.
Yeah.
And if we allow them to pull us to that dimension, then that's where the Matrix comes in.
I mean, why are you hearing more and more killings, more and more horrific deaths? I mean, things that you probably never heard about in your whole lifetime, and you're hearing about these, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is because a lot of these entities or whatever, they're coming through these dimensions, you know, into our reality. And what they want to do is they want to put a lot of fear into people.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they have fear, they have control.
And like I say, once you're in the Matrix, it's all about discomfort.
Yeah.
And that's why all this power and fear and control, that's all part of the Matrix.
Wow.
Can you see now why you've been feeling a lot of the feelings that you've felt?
Yeah, that explains a lot of things. It's amazing how I have been led to look at the movie. I think they wanted me to get more of a clear picture of what's going on with me.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to feel better after you all help to clarify and remind me. The thing is remembering. It's like I get a lot of information, but I'm having trouble maintaining it and using it when I need it, and actually having that knowing in the moment as to who I am, why I'm here, and you
mm-hmm.
know, things like, and so I just gotta hold tight, I guess, to the truth and my own reality. So I think as long as I can remember this,
that's right.
In a chicken yard.
Yeah.
And I need to get up and fly away. I think the big eagle has arrived.
No, your ego has landed.
Get out of that chicken bin.
Yeah.
Let me help you.
Yeah.
Well, I think now that we've given you clarity, when you watch The Matrix, it'll make sense to you.
Oh, yeah.
Much more.
Why?
Yeah.
It'll make sense to you because you'll understand why the messages in the movie will stand out to you more clearly now, because now you understand. See, before I didn't understand why he said to Neo that obviously my rules and regulations don't apply to you. And so now I understand after I listened to the song of the Wayseers, because, you know, now I could see why Neo never listened to rules and regulations, because he was so different from other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one you should listen to. If you could go into YouTube, put the Wayseer Manifesto. And what this guy does, he sings this song, but he's talking as he's singing this song, but he's telling everything of what's really going on.
The Wayseer Manifesto.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was the other song? You mentioned another one.
The other one was Angels Among Us by Alabama.
Okay, I got it all written down.
Okay.
And I'll listen to those tonight after we get home.
Yeah.
And I was so tired today, I was led to go to sleep. And I didn't really want to go to sleep, but there was nothing else I could do. So I went to sleep, and I woke up at about 11 p.m. tonight, and then you all came on at midnight. And I feel a lot better because my energy was so drained. I think I needed that. I actually got a phone call,
mm-hmm.
and I remember talking, but I was talking incoherently. I think I was still on another dimension when I answered the phone.
Oh.
But there's another thing, I know we got to go soon, but I just wanted to throw this in, is that one thing that I found so strange is that I do more in my sleep than when awake. When I go to sleep, I wake up very, very tired. And I know I've been doing things because my heart accelerates and speeds up, you know, sometimes, and I'll wake up. And I know I've been somewhere, but I don't know what I've been doing. And now I don't remember any of it. And I think I kind of asked not to remember, because when I do remember my dreams, they are so disturbing.
You know, and that's interesting, because what I'm getting is that you do a lot of work in the astral.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you
feel so tired the next day and feel drained, because, you know, you've been working and doing a lot of spiritual work, you know, in the astral.
But how can I change that? Because I don't like the way, okay, I talked to you all one time, and we talked about my astral travel, and I asked not to do that because I was landing. I was having episodes where I could be asleep one minute and I could jump up just straight to a standing position, from sleep to standing, just like I just landed. Somebody just dropped me in my bedroom, and it was very, very scary. Heart racing, short of breath, just all of that. And I asked to stop that, and I did. And now that was more or less what was going on last year when I was going through this stuff. It got magnified at that time. But now I'm not doing any of that. I'm not having a lot of visitors. And I asked all of that to stop because I was seeing things, hearing things, and even moved into a haunted house, just a whole lot of stuff. And all of that.
That's another thing, too, that I'm getting, that you're a spiritual warrior.
Yeah, well, it's like I don't want to be.
You know, the whole thing is that's our part of our contract.
Well, it slowed down a lot because I was like, hold up, wait a minute. I don't want to do all of this.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a lot of communication, and like I said, I don't hear anything now. I was hearing so much stuff, and I just asked for it to stop. And now I want to, I don't know if that's the right thing to do or whatever, but I'm not afraid anymore. I used to be afraid
in
what I was seeing and hearing and knowing and all this insight and reading people. You know, I do a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
You know, I can go into a room and I know the thoughts and intentions of people. And
wow.
It helps me a lot of, you know, and it's just like been too much. And
I want you to share something with me and Nathan right now. What are you getting from our energy?
Well, what I get from you and Adrian is basically nothing specific, but just truth and light.
Yeah. You know, and that's where we need to be.
Truth and light. And
yeah.
I find that my gift is like I cannot, because I know I'm a channel because I have channeled, and I have this weird ability. I channel spirits through pictures of the deceased.
Right.
Oh.
And it's very weird. I've never heard of anybody doing that before, but that's what I do. Because I had a cousin who passed away, and her daughters were very young when she passed away, and there was one. She's an adult now, and she still grieves her mother, and she was looking for these pictures from my mother. And my mother didn't give her the pictures, and that made me very upset. And I found her channeling to me, but I didn't know what was going on then. And she said, if anybody can give her the pictures, you can. And I sat straight up in bed, and make a long story short, what I ended up doing was getting pictures together of her, and I edited them and put in borders and flowers, and then she would speak a short message, and I'd write the message on the pictures, and I thought it was just me. But I found out in the middle of Walmart that I was channeling. And I ended up putting these pictures together, putting them in a large poster board size collage. And it just went on and on. And I ended up doing like a presentation of her. And the family was getting together. And it was a holiday, so a lot of people were there, and I kept being led because I was thinking, okay, now how am I going to give them to her? And when I got them all together, I had all these pictures. Then I made a photo album of the pictures that I used for the collage. Then I ended up doing 5x7 pictures of her, and they all had to be in beautiful frames. Then I ended up doing a presentation. And, boy,
wow,
it was like a memorial service that I had created. And when
wow,
I actually uncovered, and when she came in the room, I unveiled them. And then here were all these pictures, beautiful pictures, because I had to pick the most beautiful frames and then all the captions. And it was like a memorial service. There was not a dry eye in the house.
Wow.
And none of this was from, it was not my idea. It was not something that I created. It was something that I was led to do step by step. And I ended up doing it for another person. Well, I had to recopy that and do it for the sister because she said, well, if you did it for her, you need to do one for me. So I had to take all the pictures and do it again. And then the second person that I did, I really knew I was channeling then because I actually had to connect with his spirit. And it was hard for me to connect with his spirit when I finally did, you know, because I was kind of trying to be judgmental because he had done something illegal and gotten shot and killed. And I knew how much his mother loved him, and she was talking about these pictures and how she didn't have but a few pictures. And then something in me said, well, give them to me, and I can make more pictures out of them. And I told her what I could do, and she